And it reminds me of the Thomas Delaney line about facing Ireland. It's like trying to open a can of beans with your bare hands. They're a nightmare to play against.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
You're very welcome along to Wednesday's Rugby Daily. I'm Cameron Hill. Coming up, we'll hear from Brian O'Driscoll on the appointment of Johnny Sexton as a coach with Ireland and the Lions. Stuart Barnes gauges who could be the Lions' out half for the tour of Australia this summer. He has one Irish name in mind. And could there be a return of a Wallabies veteran ahead of the visit of the Lions this summer? But first, we'll rewind to last week. And as Johnny Sexton was appointed to a full-time coaching role with Ireland, the former out half was also confirmed as a member of Andy Farrell's backroom team on the British and Irish Lions. The ex-Ireland captain will be a kicking coach for this summer's tour of Australia. Additionally, the IRFU have confirmed that Sexton will become a permanent member of the Ireland coaching team from next season onwards. So the 39-year-old joined the coaching staff on a part-time basis ahead of the Autumn Nations series back in November and worked with the Irish kickers, then had a more hands-on role during the 2025 Six Nations under Simon Easterby while Farrell was on his Lions sabbatical. Sexton played in the 2013 tour of Australia. He started in all three tests there. He was also featured in each test of the drawn series in New Zealand back in 2017. And Sexton played alongside Brian O'Driscoll in that tour of Australia back in 2013. Here, the former Ireland captain was speaking on Tuesday's Off the Ball to Adrian Barry and says that Sexton was already a coach on the field.
You know, I think he left the game. It's funny, you know, I see Johnny a bit in our boys play together, you know, play rugby and you know, we'll hang out sometimes. But we never really get into the teeth of that this conversation. Yeah. I suppose I'm very mindful of around not doing that when you are meeting up, around feeling as though I'm quizzing him or I'm interviewing him. So we kind of leave it be. And so you have to read between the lines a little bit. My sense is that obviously he wanted take a step back from rugby. He'd been at it for, you know, almost two decades, professional rugby, or certainly over 15 or 16 years of a professional career, wanting your weekends back a little bit, maybe trying something else. But yet, there's always that uncertainty, that inkling of, you know, what sort of coach would I be? Mm-hmm. What could I add to the environment? It didn't quite materialise in the World Cup in 23, much to his and the country's disappointment. And so I wonder, is there an element of, okay, well, we didn't get it done then, but if they do it in 27, I'd like to be a part of that, and I think I can add value to that effect, to go one step further at least, or a couple of steps further and get to an all-inclusive kind of semi-final, final. You know, I suppose, you know, he's got other things going on besides his main role with Arda. You know, he still has other things going on. He's still got corporate events and whatnot. So I think that coaching piece, particularly international coaching, would allow him the capacity and the time to be able to do all of that other stuff. So I think the fact that he's got such a good relationship with Andy Farrell, and again, keeps his cards very close to his chest in that regard. But I have no doubt that there's been a huge amount of communication going on over the course of the last couple of years. And he, you know, he just wants to try and see if he can be a kind of an international coach. And yes, he's very inexperienced, but he was an on-field coach with this team. Mm-hmm. He knows the setup so well, and he knows what they're trying to achieve and get the most out of them. And so, good luck to him. I think it's really interesting, and the fact that he's thrown into the Lions obviously is going to, you know, potentially upset some people.
By the way, if you want to hear that interview in full, become a member now. Don't miss a thing. Sign up at offtheball.com/join. Now, legendary commentator and former fly half himself, Stuart Barnes, joined the Off the Ball breakfast team this morning. He believes that Sexton's rugby brain could prove pivotal in the role.
Also, a lot of people in England have said he's got no coaching experience. I don't mind that. I think if you're a really top-class 10 like Sexton, then you've got to think. Johnny Sexton's not a sprinter. He's not a power lifter. He is a rugby brain, and it's good to get his brain. And I think nobody who has been playing the game in the last 5 years in this hemisphere, knows Joe Smith better than Sexton. And I think Farrell has been very cute in thinking, I can take that knowledge with me. And as long as Sexton thinks about the psychological aspect of coaching, that's the issue. He can't just be Johnny Sexton snarling and angry. He's now on the other side of the fence. If he thinks psychologically and he mends bridges with players and makes sure he doesn't break them down, then he could be a very good appointment.
And if you want to hear more interviews like that, remember you can tune into Off the Ball Breakfast live every morning from 7:30 on YouTube and on the Off the Ball app. With the Lions squad announcement taking place on the 8th of May in London, questions remain as to who will start that all-important first test in Brisbane in mid-July. Barnes believes that Leinster and Ireland fly half Sam Prendergast has that something special.
Prendergast has got genius in his hands. He's got a great rugby brain and he's very tenacious. He takes his knocks. The way he'll pick a ball and just screw kick 60 metres into the corner as if to say to the opposition, stuff that, boys. It's hardcore stuff. It's psychologically very impressive. I watch him sometimes, and even if you're watching the game on television, you're thinking, did he pass that or has he still got it in his hands? His running lines, his timing are sensational, and I think he's got so much talent. I think he's got to go. I would go Finn Russell and say he's my test fly half. I trust him. He's got the experience. And I would take Prendergast and probably Finn Smith as the third choice.
On the other side of the Lions equation then, Australia could be making a sensational call for an ageing superstar to be part of Joe Schmidt's squad for that upcoming tour. So 34-year-old James O'Connor, who has 64 caps and has scored 279 points for his country, could be in line for a possible recall to the Wallabies. Ian Payton in the Sydney Morning Herald is reporting that he surged back into contention for selection in Joe Schmidt's squad for the Lions tour in July after displaying excellent form off the bench for the Crusaders this season. Despite playing his rugby outside the Australian borders, Rugby Australia have ruled that O'Connor would not be counted as an overseas-based Gitto Law pick, given he's playing for the New Zealand side in Super Rugby. He, of course, featured as part of the Wallabies selection back in 2013. The favourite to succeed Joe Schmidt as Wallabies boss after the tour says he isn't losing sleep over the long, drawn-out process to name a new head coach. Les Kiss, who was an assistant coach for Ireland and a former Ulster director of rugby, is currently the Queensland Reds boss and the favourite to succeed Schmidt. Writing in Australian rugby site The Roar, Christy Doran says that Rugby Australia had hoped to appoint Kiss as Schmidt's successor a week ago, but their attempts to announce the 60-year-old as the next Wallabies head coach have been slowed by the backroom dealings between the national body and the Queensland Rugby Union. Now, Kiss doesn't have an international get-out clause in his 3-year contract, so Queensland has naturally asked RA for compensation to ensure they're not left empty-handed if he moves to the national setup. The national body are currently in a €20 million deficit and are reliant on a positive Lions tour to make some well-needed cash. Moving to Wales now, and the Welsh Rugby Union is reportedly targeting Steve Tandy as their new senior men's head coach. The union have been on the hunt for a new permanent successor to Warren Gatland, who resigned midway through this year's Six Nations. You'll remember Cardiff boss Matt Sherritt stepped into the role for the remainder of that tournament, but couldn't prevent the side from claiming this year's wooden spoon. Sherritt has insisted he would not be taking on the role beyond the championship. He is the front runner for taking charge of this summer's tour of Japan, despite revealing this week that the WRU have made no official contact with him about a second stint as interim boss. Now to Tandy. So he's currently the defence coach with the Scotland men's side and is under contract until 2026. It's expected that if he is appointed, he will assume the post ahead of the 2025-26 season. Wales are currently 12th in the men's world rankings, which is a record low, and are suffering a 17-test losing run. A new director of rugby is expected to be unveiled by the union this week, with former England performance director Dave Redden set to take the role. And finally for today, France scrum half Nolan Legarec has apologised after appearing to dive in a top 14 match at the weekend. The Racing 92 star, who has won 10 caps for his country, dropped to the turf clutching his face after a slight and accidental collision with Perpignan prop Bruce Deveau on Saturday. The incident sparked jeers from the Perpignan fans when replayed on their stadium's big screen, and referee Kevin Bralay instructed Lagarec to play on once he was back on his feet. Former referee Nigel Owens commented on social media and said he would have given Lagarec a straight red card, while other critics said the 22-year-old's exaggeration endangered players who suffered serious head injuries. So Midi Olympique on Tuesday released a statement from Garek saying, "I wanted to come back on the situation of my contact to the head and my inadequate reaction. At the time, I received a shoulder to the face from the Perpignan prop, and I did not know at all if it was intentional or not. I did not know how to react. After reviewing the images, I see that this gesture was completely involuntary on the part of the prop. I apologise to the match referees. I did not want to disrespect anyone. It is not how I behave." So more on that soon. But that's it for today's Rugby Daily. Remember to subscribe in your podcast feed to keep this podcast coming to you free from Monday to Friday. I'm Cameron Hill, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily tomorrow. I'll talk to you then.
Take a detour from the ordinary.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
It's time to get diverted.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
Join Owen Sheehan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly, or whenever it comes to food.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
Holanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda. See, see, see.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels. Diverted on Off the Ball.